The portrait that writer Edward P. Jones creates of his hometown, Washington, D.C., is a mix of the real and the supernatural. It's a place where grandparents struggle to raise their grandkids, and it's where the devil, wearing a purple tie and two-toned shoes, swims across the river. Jones won national acclaim and a Pulitzer Prize for his novel The Known World, a tale of black slave owners in the antebellum South. We visited Jones recently at his apartment in the nation's capital and talked about his new collection of short stories, all Aunt Hagar's children. In the Bible, Hagar was Abraham's slave and concubine.
The phrase Aunt Hagar's children is one that my mother used for black people. So sort of on the same line that the person in the title story, All Aunt Hagar's Children, Penny, who says something about all the bad things that they do to all Aunt Hagar's children. That's sort of the same way my mother would have spoken the words.
Jones dedicated this book to his mother and says while none of the characters is directly based on her, his mother's sayings are in his mind as he writes.
There's a tremendous number of, it's every goodbye ain't gone, every shut eye ain't sleep, but that would be too much like right. For example, out here at the corner here, Wisconsin, Massachusetts Avenues, if there were no lights and there had been a number of people crossing the streets because there were no lights and they'd been killed, and someone suggested, well, why don't they put up street lights? My mother would say, no, that would be too much like right.
Edward P. Jones says his mother brought these phrases with her when she came north to Washington.
I made a great effort in the 14 stories in All Aunt Hagar's Children to present characters who originated in the South. When I was growing up, almost all the adults that I knew had been born and raised in the South. It took a hold on me when I began to compose in my head this new collection of stories.
There's a selection I'd like for you to read for us from the story In the Blink of God's Eye. But before you read, I think I'd like for you to maybe set the story up for us a little bit.
It takes place in 1901 in Washington, and it's at the center of it is a newly married couple, Ruth and Aubrey, who come from Arlington, actually, across the Potomac River. And this section that I'll read has to do with an evening before the couple goes to Washington. About 2 in the morning that eighth night, Ruth, hearing that old night song, sat on the side of the bed and reached down in the dark for the slippers he had presented her. Outside in the warm, she let the flow of the song lead her about the place, lit by a moon that commanded a sky with not even one cloud. She walked all about, even near the dark of the night woods, for there was no cautionary story about wolves roaming in Virginia. She would miss this little piece of a farm, but Aubrey's aunt, Joan Hardesty, had assured her that Washington was a good place to be. "It grows on you," Ruth remembered Joan saying of Washington, like a woman talking about a lover whose shortcomings she would have to live with. "You just let it grow on you."
Ruth seems very troubled with Washington. It's not working for her. But Aubrey is drawn here as if this is where his future is, as his aunt has told him.
Well, I think a lot of people, came and found, a good life. A lot of them, of course, came and found a kind of hell. So for one of them, it works out, and for the other, it does not. I'm sure it was sort of the mixed thing with my mother, for example.
Why do you think that?
Well, I think life was rather hard for her, and I think she probably took pleasure in having her children. But there were a lot of other things that weighed her down.
Now, you all moved around a good bit when you were a child, I read. Did you have to move because your mother had a hard time making rents, or?
Well, I think she never had enough money to get a good place. By the time I was 18, we'd lived in about 18 different places, and all the places were horrible. You couldn't depend on any heat in the winter, and a lot of times we went to bed with the coats on top of the blanket. My mother would just get fed up.
I read where you try very hard not to write in a way that's stereotypical, that uses stereotypical characters. But I wonder, how do you know that you've achieved that? I would think that would be a very hard thing to avoid.
Well, You don't. I mean, you just. I mean, you know, there are people in there who do, you know, this country thinks black people in a certain way for the most part. And there are people in there who do things that are not very nice to each other. But my thing has always been that no bad person was ever born that way. And the thing you have to do is sort of find the moment or moments when that person turned off the good road and went onto the bad road. And I think that's when you can find those moments and tell them as detailed as possible, then maybe you can avoid the stereotype.
I think of the moment in the blink of God's eye mm-hmm. when Aubrey, the young man, mm-hmm. he's a child, and he realizes that his mother is going down the street.
Yeah. Down the road.
To basically down the road. Yeah, it's not probably not a paved street,
yeah.
but down the road to shack up with some guy mm-hmm. beyond the horizon.
Yeah, yeah.
And you realize that affects the person he is.
Become, yeah.
When he's with his new young wife.
Yeah, yeah. I often said that one of the stories I'd like to write would have the beginning, we never get over having been a child. Because it's so much of where it all happens. You know, it all begins there. And the sad thing for a lot of us, of course, is that we live our lives and can't remember the moment that things began for us. And because we can't remember that moment, we continue living, you know, sad lives.
Well, Edward P. Jones, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
It was my pleasure.
You can hear Edward P. Jones reading from All Aunt Hager's Children at our website, npr.org.